Welcome back to the A-Suite Podcast. We are UCLA Anderson MBA students bringing you the best insights on industry deep dives, the MBA experience in general, and so much more. Today, we are continuing on with our second year series where we interview current second year UCLA Anderson students and learn about their stories. Now, I am super pumped to introduce you all to Bree Buhaley. She is an incredible individual that truly embodies both the energy of sharing success and entrepreneurship. From being mindful to the time you need to process things, to making mochi ice cream, all the way over to speaking several languages, there is never a dull moment with Bree. I hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the A-Suite Podcast. Today we have Bree Buhaley here sharing her experience. She's a second year year here at Anderson. So hi, Bree. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, John. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, of course. No, super excited to dive into your experience. So the main reason we connected was, I forget exactly what the event was, but basically Bree was brought in at some point to just like help. From my opinion, I just felt like I was being guided into like how to approach the stresses of first year. And it was just like the most, I just felt so warm and so like safe. I don't know if that's like the right way to put it, but after that meeting with, there was like a small group of us, I just felt like we were a lot more prepared to tackle on the first year and everything it kind of had on its plate for us. So what was your take? I forget exactly what it was. Do you recall? Sorry.
I know. I'm so glad to hear that you felt that way. I think it was one of the group coffee chats that UCLA Anderson was hosting. And yeah, I just remember you and everyone else as a really great group, very engaged, which is not always easy over Zoom. So I appreciated that. And it was just a chance for us to connect about recruiting. And likewise, it was great to hear about everyone's, you know, paths and their previous kind of stories as well.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, awesome. I'm so excited for you to share your take on everything with everyone. It's gonna be awesome. So to give everyone a little context, I see here that you went to Scripps College and then now you're at UCLA Anderson. So I'd love to hear more just about your story. Like, how did you decide that you wanted to pursue an MBA and what exactly brought you to UCLA in particular?
Yeah, definitely. So like you said, well, I'm originally from Portland, Oregon. So I've spent a lot of time on the West Coast, but have moved around a little bit. And then for undergrad, went to Scripps College, which is a small liberal arts college where I studied psychology. And originally I wanted to become a psychologist. That was my path. And I just really enjoyed coaching people, helping people, and thought that's where I wanted to end up. But through undergrad and taking classes and talking with folks, I really found that my passion lied at the intersection of psychology and business. So that's how I ended up. I moved to San Francisco after I graduated and decided to work in the tech industry. I started my career as a recruiter because I felt like that was the best application of this psychology and business passion that I had. And even though since then I've moved out of recruiting into other roles, I felt like my passion for just people-centric, customer-centric projects has carried, has stayed with me throughout my career. So anyway, to kind of answer your question of why I was interested in pursuing my MBA, after about 5 years of working within tech across a few different functions, I decided I was really interested in getting to know other areas of business like finance, marketing, areas where I didn't necessarily want to go into, but wanted to further my own learning. I also was living in such a tech bubble within San Francisco and had only worked in tech that I was really excited by the opportunity to get to know people from different industries, different sectors, and just open up my worldview a little bit more from that perspective within the world of business. So that's ultimately why I decided to pursue my MBA.
Yeah, awesome. I love kind of your path, and I would love to hear a little bit more on like why was it Anderson in particular? Like, what stuck out to you? And do you think you made the right choice a year later?
I do think I made the right choice a year later, a year into it. So let's see, when I was looking at MBA programs, what stuck out to me about Anderson in particular, the first thing was the culture. That's always what I've looked for in my companies as well, because at least for me, the most important thing is the people and the culture that I'm in. With Anderson, the people who I talked to who were attending when I was applying talked about how collaborative everyone is through classes, also through recruiting, helping each other through interview prep, sharing questions from companies and things like that. And that really resonated with me as an environment I would want to be in. And then the second thing about Anderson was its focus on tech and entrepreneurship. At the time, I didn't realize I was interested in entrepreneurship, but I knew I was really interested in tech and just the general field. And Anderson is so strong in that area that I was really excited to attend Anderson and really focus in on that.
Yeah, no, I completely resonate with what you're saying about just the culture of Anderson. I'm living through it right now where I'm doing recruiting right now. There's a lot of like interview prep. There's a lot of coffee chats and whatnot. And every single time I get out of something or get out of like a coffee chat with a certain company, immediately I'm hitting someone else up in my class that is also going to have a coffee chat with this individual or what have you. A few friends have reached out to me saying like, oh, I just got an interview here. Like, this is the rundown of like what the questions were and like how I felt and what they seemed like they were looking for. So this idea of shared success and just like growing and progressing together is so evident here. So I love that it holds true between all years. That's super comforting and super exciting.
That's great to hear.
Do you think that I'm assuming so, but does it still exist as you progress into the second year, or in second year, are you guys kind of more like going off doing your own things and it's not necessarily as I don't know how to say it, like, I don't know. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. What's your take?
Yeah, it's a good question. It absolutely has progressed and continued. You know, this year looks a little bit different as a second year, just in terms of priorities and where we're at with recruiting and things like that for the most part. But whether it's thinking through decisions of where to go full time, whether it's, I was just on a call earlier today with another second year, a classmate of mine, we were talking through negotiation strategies, how to negotiate, you know, when it's appropriate, how to have the conversation, all of that. And we found so much shared success just even in sharing those strategies, even what kind of like what things look like from a compensation perspective or a start date perspective. And it has been so helpful. So even, you know, 1 year in, I'm still finding a lot of that shared success amongst my classmates and me, which is great.
That's so exciting. That's so cool to hear. I'm so pumped. So going along this idea of shared success, like, I would love to hear more about your personal recruiting process, what you went through during your first year to just try to help the current first years. Because as you know, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving pieces. And as a first year, I'm stressed out of my mind. I know for a fact that a lot of people are stressed, and I would just love to hear your take on like how you navigated that and what resources you might have used or tools that you found to be helpful during your process and figuring things out for recruitment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because at least for me this time last year, when I was a first year MBA student, I felt like the whole process was daunting and stressful and overwhelming. And yeah, and now that I'm on the other side of it, I wish I could have told myself back then, like, it will all work out. As cheesy as that sounds, you know, this is just one more stage in your career, one more step. And to me, at least, careers are really about the long-term game. And so, you know, just taking a step back and realizing you will be successful, you know, just hearing that was helpful for me. And I wish I could have told myself that back then. For my recruiting process, I think the first stage that I had to overcome was this tension between exploration and focus. Because for me, coming from a tech background, I thought that I wanted to continue in tech, but I did have a couple of months where I was really questioning if that was the path I wanted to take. And what was most helpful for me was, I kind of set a deadline for myself, and I told myself, I'm going to take the next month and a half to just explore what else is out there. And then at that point, I'll make a decision on I'm going to focus on tech, or I'm going to focus on consulting, or maybe a mix. Mm. And so just by giving myself the leeway to explore and setting a deadline, I felt more comfortable with that plan and in doing so. And that helped me get out there more, go to more events. Mm. I remember showing up at an entertainment event. Everyone was looking at me because it was 6 weeks into school and I hadn't attended a single one up until that point. But it was just really helpful to get a feel for what else was out there. And it made it so that when I did make my decision, I didn't have any regrets looking back.
I feel like I should use that advice because I'm finding myself very split between I'm recruiting for tech and entertainment. But I didn't do what you just said of giving myself that time for exploration. And every single day I'm like, all right, I'm going to apply to this, but I'm also going to look into this role. And it's kind of like split between both of the categories that you just laid out. And that is very interesting. Like, I feel like now I should like bucket my time and give myself, I don't know, it might be too late now. I can't give myself a month and a half to like explore some more stuff. No, that's super, super cool advice. I would also love to hear like, where exactly did you end up and how was that? What was your timeline for where you actually ended up, your thought process behind, was this the long-term goal or is this adding to the long-term goal, and kind of walk through that process for me if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy to talk about resources too, because I did find a lot of value in the resources at Anderson. But in terms of my overall timeline and process, so I ended up working at Google this past summer. Mm-hmm. I interned on the Google Cloud team as an MBA intern there. It was within the technical account management practice. And so basically, I know it sounds like a fancy job title, yeah. Right? But basically what that means is that the team really helps to onboard and train customers on the Google Cloud platform and support them throughout their cloud kind of transformation journey. So, anywhere from retail companies to tech companies who are looking to use Google Cloud for any of their infrastructure or other services that they need. But going back to the timeline of how I got there, I was a bit torn between tech and consulting. Mm. I ultimately decided I wanted to continue my path in tech. And a couple of factors went into that decision. One is I loved working in tech before. I just really enjoyed the fast pace of it, the innovation. I liked working within a specific industry rather than being more generalist. Mm. The second reason, to be quite candid, was the lifestyle. I'm not in a place where I don't want to be traveling Monday to Thursday. For some people, that's exciting and something they wanted. But for me personally, I wanted to be a little bit more settled. So those are a couple of the practical reasons why I ended up choosing tech. And then in terms of my recruiting, I was actually really interested in people strategy, which you don't hear a lot from MBAs. I think I was one of maybe five people in my class who was interested in HR recruiting, that kind of world.
Gotcha.
And so I initially looked at roles within people strategy and then ended up deciding to explore some additional areas within tech. So I also looked at a role at Facebook and a role at Google, and ultimately was deciding between Cisco, Facebook, and Google across three different roles, and ended up choosing Google as kind of my final resting place for the summer.
I came to this realization this past week, actually, of like, I feel like I've been putting a lot of pressure on specific companies for my summer internship, but at the end of the day, it's just the internship, right? It doesn't have to be the perfect role, the perfect company, and relieving that pressure off myself was very liberating. And so I'd love to hear your take on like how this internship played into your long-term goal and what that alignment looks like and how to kind of navigate recruiting during the first year, knowing that that's not the end all be all. There's so much more left.
I love that revelation. it is so liberating to realize that. And one of my friends who graduated ahead of me shared a statistic that most MBAs change jobs within a couple of years after graduating.
Oh, wow.
And I found that liberating as well, to know it's okay if, you know, if you realize you get into it and you're exploring, and you may realize you want to pivot paths. That's totally expected and normal as well. So I love that. For me, so after I worked in recruiting in tech, I worked in professional services roles where I was helping to do customer success, manage software implementations, and I found that I really enjoyed working with customers and helping them to be successful in their businesses. So for me, you know, working at Google in a role where I'm directly continuing to do that in a growing space, which is cloud, that was really exciting to me. And I think what I was looking for was a place where I felt like the culture resonated with me, the people were down to earth, humble, and wanting, very curious and wanting to continue learning. And I felt like this was aligned with kind of my desire to continue working with customers and also just going to be an environment where I could learn a ton in this role. For me, long-term, I have a couple of different ideas, but one of them is like probably everyone else out there. One of them for me would be going down the customer path and maybe focusing more on customer operations or the customer experience more holistically and making sure people have a really great experience as customers with, you know, Google or whatever company I may be with. The second path is maybe a little bit more, a little bit different, but I'm really interested in opening my own coaching practice at some point. I've been working with a coach. She's an Anderson alum actually from a few years ago, and she recently left her job to start a coaching practice. And I just really admire that and would really love to work with people one-on-one, help them kind of figure out what it is they are really passionate about and really want to do, and help them figure it out and get on that path. So that's my long-term vision, is to hopefully one day open some kind of coaching practice like that.
That's so cool. That makes me so happy, because I feel like you'd be such a good fit for that. So kudos to you, and hopefully that does happen in the near distant future, wherever your timeline ends up being. But
we should partner up. I feel like you would be such a great life coach. You're so encouraging and positive.
Let's do it. I could use that. I'm actually so down for that. So would you say that, like, I know you mentioned entrepreneurship near the beginning. I want to go a little bit more into that. Would this be like your entrepreneurial pursuit, or like how else are you satisfying that entrepreneurial drive that you have within you that's just like there and wants to be freed, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It does want to be freed. I never knew it existed until I came to UCLA, but it's been so inspiring being surrounded by classmates who are starting their own businesses, passionate about entrepreneurship, people who were entrepreneurs before business school. I just wasn't really exposed, even though I was living in a tech bubble, I wasn't really exposed to that many people who had been doing entrepreneurship prior to business school. So that's been really great. For me, I'm doing BCO, the business creation option, at Anderson, which was another reason I was interested in this program. I'll be curious, John, to hear if that's something you're planning on doing as well. But
100%. 100%.
That's great to hear. Yeah, that has been great. It started with entrepreneurial classes last year, and then continuing this year and working on that. And our founder of the team is interested in taking the company live after graduation. So that's been a really great learning experience and exciting. I'm also working with a classmate and friend who's interested in becoming an entrepreneur as well. So we're exploring ideas at the moment and trying to figure out what to do next. And the last thing I'm involved in that's entrepreneurial is a friend of mine introduced me to a couple of Fembas who are starting a career coaching app. And so they're trying to democratize and scale career coaching for people. And so I've just been working with them a few hours a week on it. We've launched a website and a newsletter, and that has been really great as well to learn from them and get to kind of start this new experience together.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that. That makes me so happy that, like, not only do you have a vision for what your long-term kind of wants to be of that life coaching, but you're actually just like getting your hands dirty and doing it now and like trying your best to get your foot in the door and just like grinding and just trying new things and seeing what works. I think that's like the beauty of kind of what you just mentioned, like having these classmates that are just so active in their lives and so driven. It's just like intoxicating and infectious, you know? So that's really cool to hear. Wow, that's so exciting.
Thanks. Yeah, it is infectious. You're right. I think that's the biggest thing I think I've gotten out of my MBA so far. Obviously, the classes and academics have been great and the resources, mm-hmm. but just getting to meet all of these people who are so passionate about what they do, and they're all so collaborative and happy to bring you along with them, which I love.
Yeah. I looked around at your resume and stuff, and I also saw this like little side note at the bottom that was like super intriguing to me, and it had to do with like mochi ice cream. And so I thought you were going to talk about that for entrepreneurial type things. I don't know if you're going to make like an ice cream shop or something like that, but could you elaborate on, I guess, more broadly speaking, of like the things that you do for you to help you get through recruiting and get through all the stresses that come with how busy you are, how school is going and all that. Like, what are your escapes? How are you managing that balance between like work and personal life, and just being able to feel like a wholesome person that's like all good and balanced and zen and in tune with their being?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd love any advice around that. But mochi, okay, real quick, mochi mm-hmm. ice cream. I actually, it's funny you say that, because I really did want to open an ice cream shop in San Francisco. When I was applying for my MBA, I was like, should I try to open an ice cream shop instead? And I didn't get too far down the research path. But if there's anyone out there who's interested, I would definitely be down for that. Awesome. As I haven't made mochi ice cream in a while, but it's one of my favorite desserts. I think to your question around kind of like work-life balance and staying zen, it's definitely an ever-evolving practice for me, and something I'm continuing to learn. Especially, I know everyone's feeling it right now during the pandemic. It's especially challenging. One of my family members that I grew up with, he always said, I have two modes. I'm either extremely lazy or extremely productive. And while that may be somewhat unrealistic to be kind of sustainable, I try to be in that mindset of, okay, am I really in a place where I can be productive and do this interview prep? And if I'm not, I just cut my losses and say, it's okay. Like I will do my best. I'll be as prepared as I can be, but I'm just going to go on a walk or play with my dog or watch The Bachelor or some kind of trashy TV and be okay with, you know, not always working 100% all of the time. So I don't know if that's helpful for people, but for me, I just try to remember to pace myself, and that I feel like there is such a prize on being productive, but that's not what it's all about. So for me, I really try to come back down to that and remember, you know, what else I'm excited about in life besides work or besides prepping for an interview. So that's something that has helped me.
Yeah, no, I love that. So that advice might not necessarily, apply to everybody, but I think it's just so nice to have different perspectives on how people are navigating through it. Like some people, they like to read, some people like to run, and I like your advice in saying, like, you know, it's okay to cut my losses and, you know, understand that I'm not going to be the most productive if I try something right now, and so let's like leave it at that and do my own thing and figure things out on the side. I love that. Giving yourself that space is man, I feel like that would feel nice. I don't know what that's like, because I don't do that. And so maybe I need to work on that, because I definitely have run into situations like last week where I'm working on a case at like 2 a.m. and clearly not going to really do much productive work, and it's going to take a lot longer. And rather than cut my losses, I'm just like, you know, I got to get it done right now. And it's very interesting to hear your take on it. And I love that you shared that with us today. So thank you. I would also love to talk a little bit about your experience as a second year. Like, how is it re-recruiting? How's that scene look? And what do you think that yourself and your other classmates might be going through that could be a little bit tougher than, if you have any advice that you'd want to share with your fellow peers and whatnot?
Yeah, sounds good. I think as a second year, especially this year in particular, I know many companies have delayed making offers. And so that, I think that uncertainty has added a bit of stress for everyone in second year, of course, in first year as well. And so I think patience is key, and some circumstances for that, just kind of waiting while some things are a little bit up in the air. I think the other things for second year, for me as a first year, I relied on so many great resources, like the ACT group, where we would meet with second years and they kind of helped us navigate the recruiting process, the interview prep teams, prepping for interviews, Parker. There were so many resources that I used. And as a second year, I think at the beginning, it was almost like I forgot that those existed and I forgot to leverage those in my second year. So, you know, getting myself back in the rhythm of setting up mock interviews with the career teams at UCLA, with the Career Center at UCLA, meeting with my classmates, being unafraid to reach out and ask people if they'd be willing to do interview prep together. I even did interview prep for a few first years who were kind enough to like give me mock interviews, and I would do it in reverse, which was great. And then, anyway, so just really making sure to leverage all of those resources out there, because at least for me, it had been since last February since I had interviewed. So going into some of these interviews in September and October, I could feel that I was out of practice. So anyway, I guess the two pieces of advice I would give, or that I would give myself as well, is having patience for the process and trusting that. And the second would be making sure that you leverage all your resources as you re-recruit, interview, and negotiate offers going forward.
Yeah, awesome. No, I love that. Those are amazing pieces of advice, little golden nuggets that I'm sure so many people will find to be extremely valuable. Bree, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here. We have like one little bit, a little time left. So would you have any little last thing that you want to say to any of the audience members? If you had 20 seconds to give a last little spiel, what would you like to tell the people?
I think the last thing I'll say that I personally experienced is it was really easy for me to get caught up in what everyone else was doing. And, you know, I saw everyone recruiting for investment banking and consulting, and I felt like, geez, like what's up with me? I'm interested in people strategy within tech. Like that's, and I got some advice from other folks. I know it sounds cheesy again, but just stay true to who you are. Take some time to reflect on what makes you come alive, what lights you up, and really focus on those. Like, come back to your strengths, come back to what makes you you, and be calm and confident in the path that you choose, and know that it's going to work out, and this is just one step along the journey.
Wow. Hell yeah. I'm pumped about that. That was awesome. That was amazing.
I feel like it sounds cheesy, but it's true. It helped me.
No, I love that. So. I love that. Because I feel like so many times it's so easy to lose that side of things. It's so easy to just like forget that, right? Like you want to be like the person next to you, or you want to get this interview, you want to do that. And so you'll start changing, tweak yourself a little bit to make yourself the best candidate that you can be. But at the end of the day, you gotta like, you know, figure out who you are and know that who that is awesome. And like, you go with that. And that's the best selling point that you have, is just your uniqueness and who you are. So I absolutely love that. I think that was amazing. Bree, thank you so much for being here. I hope you had fun. I had a great time. And I know for a fact that everyone listening is gonna find so much value in this. So thank you so much again for being here today.
Thank you so much for hosting me, John. It was great to chat with you, and I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to do this.
And that concludes our time here with Bree. Listening to her story and perspective is so comforting to me. Bree reminded me of the importance of taking a breather when you really need it, in whatever form suits you best. What also stuck out to me was her entrepreneurial drive. It's motivating me to continue pursuing my passions and just going for it. Now, with Bree's message in mind, I challenge you all to dig deep and reflect on your own personal journeys. Find what lights you up and let it shine like the stars. Now, huge shout out to Bree Buhaley again for popping into the podcast to speak with everyone today. If you enjoyed this episode, or if something resonated with you, tell us about it. Send us an email at theasuitepodcast@gmail.com. Or better yet, leave us a review on your favorite podcast app and tell all your friends all about the A-Suite. Thank you to our host, John, our executive audio director, Alyssa, and our executive producer, Jody. And one more thank you goes out to each of you who are listening here right now. We'll see you again next time on the A-Suite Podcast. Signing off, go Bruins.